You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for he is
good. Yes, he is good. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page. Oh, give thanks unto the
The love of Jesus has changed my life. I've seen His beauty and heard His word.
Evangelist Mack of the Adoration Broadcast on the When Christians Speak Talk Radio Network. I am also the co-founder of Thirst No More Corporation, which is a 501c3 humanitarian organization designed to support communities worldwide, meeting the needs of food, clothing, and education and encouragement for our friends throughout the nations. One of our communities in Nepal, Southeast Asia, is in need of 200 backpacks for their youth. This is the second year we have supported our friends in the Himalayas and are asking for your help in making this happen. In the month of March, we are raising $2,000, which will allow for the purchase of these backpacks, plus the transport needed to get them to our community friends. Please consider gifting us in any amount to our website at thirstnomorecorp.org/donate. Again, that is thirstnomorecorp.org/donate between now and March 31st. All gifts are tax deductible, and our appreciation for giving is boundless. Many thanks and blessings. Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for blessing us on this night. Lord God, fill us with your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
May you just rest, rule, and abide and abound within us.
Yes, Lord.
For Lord God, you are great and worthy to be praised.
Yes.
And tonight, we come together, Lord God, to just give you adoration. We come to lift up the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. And we come, Lord God, that we may have open dialogue with you and with anyone that is listening on this program tonight. That, Lord God, that we would say things and share things, oh Lord, that come from on high. That you would be glorified even over the airwaves, Lord God.
Yes.
Even to countries, Lord God, that never knew that this program existed. That, Lord God, that your word and your way through our missionaries tonight and through our conversation would be received, Lord God, and that there would be a cry out, what must I do to be saved? For those who don't know you and for those who are afraid to just be on the mission field, that it would be a charge, just a challenge tonight to just go out there and to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we love you tonight, oh God, for giving us this opportunity, this privilege. And Lord God, let us, Lord, just take what you have given us and let it be shared to all nations, oh God.
Yes.
And Lord God, in the midst of it, we just ask for your mercy and for your grace that, Lord God, everything that we do, everything that we say, oh Lord, would honor you and fulfill the mission and the cause for our very being in this earth.
Yes,
we love you, O Lord, and we praise you.
Yes.
In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to your name, O God.
Hallelujah.
And Lord God, we just give you all adoration, all adoration as we speak tonight,
praise
O God.
Amen.
For those of you all who have not figured it out yet, this is the Adoration Broadcast on When Christians Speak Talk Radio, and I am honored to once again be your host tonight. I'm Evangelist Mac, and tonight is an exciting night for me, a great opportunity to actually speak with two friends of mine who I met through my beloved Myra.
Yes.
And I guess at this point, it has been about 4 years now.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so for those of you all that listen to us on a consistent basis, you know that the original purpose of Adoration was to share the ministry experience on the mission field. And the mission field, as we define it, does not necessarily mean that we are going to be in a foreign country. What it means is that going to your neighbor next door, or maybe even to the next door in your own home, maybe to a community, to a city that's outside of your immediate city, going national, just in other words, missions is everywhere that we walk, everywhere that we're able to talk. And so with that, our original purpose was to find some unique ways that people are doing ministry. But tonight, we just happen to have two people who are experienced missionaries, currently serving in Guatemala, and I won't tell where, and I'll let them do all that. But that's not the only place that they have had an opportunity to serve in, because they have also gone to other areas of the world and have been a blessing in those areas as well. And so tonight, my beloved, as you're listening, I want to welcome and introduce you to
two of the most fabulous people that I know that live right in my community here in Guatemala, and that would be Larry and Marla Johnson.
Yeah.
Larry and Marla, welcome to Adoration.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're glad to be here.
It is finally. I have wanted to do this forever, and I never could find the appropriate time. So just to let the audience know, let me tell you what these two people did to me. So they were invited to my house on yesterday.
Yesterday I had a voice.
And yesterday she had a voice. But let me tell you what happened yesterday, as yours truly was actually preparing a meal for my friends. And let me tell you guys, I put on an apron to make sure that I would stay squeaky clean for them. I wouldn't say I got out the fatted calf, but I got out the fatted bird.
There you go.
And even put the charcoal down and fire roasted this thing and had vegetables galore ready to just welcome my friends. And what happens close to the hour that they were supposed to arrive? They said, oops, they forgot. And so I'm teasing a little bit.
That's okay. This is the first time we ever forgot an appointment, but there's a first time for everything.
There is a first time for everything, and we tease because we love here, but one of the things when you are a missionary is that you have so many things going on that time and appointments can get away from
that's
you.
That's true.
Really happened last night. So what's happening, guys, is that they just came over today and here we are.
Here we are.
And so, again, introducing Larry and Marla to you all, and I'm going to give them an opportunity individually to just share a little bit about their Christian background, as we are so prone to do here. Because before we can get into actually talking about missions, we need to find out what these people have been up to, how they even got to this point. And so, because I'm going to follow God's order, we're going to start with Larry. And just Larry, in your own words, how were you introduced to Christ? What did he mean to you? Whatever you want to share along those lines.
Okay, well, just that, you know, back Marla and I were been married a couple of years, and through a friend of ours that had received the Lord, she began sharing with us her testimony and about the Lord, and we decided to accept the Lord with her, and then we got into church. So that's how it all got started, nearly 40 years ago. So from there, we kind of from church to church, and ended up with the church that we're in, where we belong with in the States. And so we've for 36 years with that church, been under our pastor for going on 39 years total. But from there, in our home church, we doing a lot of ministry in the church. Marla was cleaning the church, doing tape ministry. I was head usher, my pastor's right-hand man, doing maintenance, all those kind of things, plus holding a job. But from that,
one day we went on a missions trip.
With our pastor down to Saltillo, Mexico, to work with. We were doing a joint venture with another church to go down and build a church in Saltillo, and that's where it all got started. God put a call on our lives that, you know, we recognized the call of God then, some 32 years ago, and just been going for the Lord ever since, you know, and just when he said, this is what I want you to do, you know.
We sold everything.
I want you to, you know, start doing mission work. We said, okay, Lord, where? We started looking out where to go.
We made our first missions trip, and we were on the field 1 year later. We had sold everything, and we were living on the field 1 year later.
Wow. So
he said, go, and we got rid of everything. We got rid of everything, and we went.
Wow.
So that's how I kind of got started. You know, that's the short version of it. But
you know, I just want to say, and praise God, yes, for our friend that shared the gospel with us. She was my drinking buddy.
Okay.
And she got saved. And thank goodness she didn't give up on us. She kept sharing Christ with us.
Amen.
Until the Holy Spirit could get through all of the hard layers that were built up. And we gave our hearts to Christ. And like Larry said, we just began serving God with everything that we had. And so when we went on that first missions trip, it was no surprise that God wanted to do something even more with our lives. But we just, I want to encourage everyone who's listening that God doesn't always pick the prettiest, the smartest, the most eloquent, the most educated, the most trained, the most gifted. He's looking for people who are just willing to go.
Okay.
And you know, he's looking for people who will be willing and obedient. You know, he said, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. If you're willing and obedient.
Okay.
And so, you know, you don't necessarily have to have a degree. I'm not against studying. That's good. But when God calls you, he will equip you to go. And so we were just normal, everyday people in the church. We had never been to Bible school. We had never really thought about full-time ministry. We were very content. Like Larry said, I cleaned church. I had the cassette tape ministry. That's how old we are. But nowadays, everything's electronic. But back in the day, we would make cassette tapes of the sermons. So we were just the pastor's right-hand people. We just wanted to do anything God called us to do.
Okay.
So when we left for the mission field, we had, you know, we went on the first missions trip.
Okay.
And we felt like, you know, we really was sensing that God was calling us into full-time ministry. But we were faithful in our home church. So we didn't know a lot of other churches to draw support from. Our pastor pledged $50, and he said, you know, that's not much, but I know that I won't let you down. And we didn't have a very big church. Our home church was not that big. So our pastor pledged $50 a month, and we said, okay. And yes, that was 32 years ago, but it was still just $50.
That's right.
It wasn't very much money, but we sold everything we had. And we had to sell everything that we had just to become solvent enough to go to the mission field.
Okay.
And we sold everything, and we packed up our little 9-year-old girl. We have one child, and we headed out for Mexico to a town where we knew no one.
Okay.
And we didn't speak Spanish. And here we are, 32 wow. years later.
Wow.
And with a few experiences under our belt, but I never regret a moment of it.
Wow, that's incredible. You know, even as you both were sharing, it reminded me of my first true mission experience, which was going into the Congo, and just engaging in a culture that was unfamiliar to me.
Yes.
But at the same time, having this excitement that God is really doing something.
Exactly.
I just don't know what it is right
exactly.
now. And so now even I have a track record, you know, so many years later, and just what an incredible experience just to be open, to be on the mission field.
Yes.
And of course, you know, we all know here that a lot of times people get involved in missions just doing like a short-term trip here and there. And then there are the tried and true dedicateds like yourselves that sell everything and do a Abraham and I'm off.
But, you know, we started just by making a trip.
Okay.
And, you know, I just encourage everybody to do something. Yes. Start where you are, like you mentioned, your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, when I lived in the States, I would go to nursing homes.
Yes.
I would go do street ministry.
Yes.
You just start somewhere. You have to have a burning desire in your heart to share Jesus with the world.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, Marla, you make such a great point, because unawares to myself, it seemed like I got saved, and you know how the Bible says, and straightway or immediately,
right?
I'm out on the street, and I'm speaking with people that are homeless and people that have been incarcerated, and in my mind, I'm going, how did I get here?
Right.
But not understanding that in God's greater plan, that was the preparation ground for the kind of life
exactly
that I'm now living. And if I had not gone through those things, we wouldn't be
exactly
here talking tonight.
Sure. Amen. That's right.
So when, you know, a lot of times people take this scripture out of context, but in actuality, all things truly do work together for good to those who love God.
There you
right.
go.
And to those who are called according
That's
to
right.
his purpose.
That's right.
And so those who are listening on Adoration, understand that when you have an opportunity to entertain missionaries, you want to just hold on to them and not let them leave, because there's so much information and so much misinformation that they can actually educate you on to make it an easier decision to get out of the safety net of just the local church and the walls that make up that structure, and to get out into the real world and to really watch God manifest his glory in different parts of our world. Which leads me to a question. I'm going to kind of direct this back to Larry, because if we keep talking, Marla, he won't say anything, and he'll be getting away with it, and I won't let him do it.
Even with laryngitis, I can still...
Yeah. Well, you and I, you know, we're kindred spirits.
Okay,
I'll
be your amen corner.
But for Larry, one of the things that concern me is the fact that it seems like women are really leading the charge on the mission field, and oftentimes we can't seem to motivate the men to get out there and experience some of the things that that the ladies are already into. And I'm just kind of delving into your mind for a moment. Why do you think that is, and what do you think we can do in order to encourage more men to just get out there and just take advantage of the great opportunity that God has given us to witness?
Well, I think that you have... certainly, my calling is a little bit different from Marla's background, you know, and things. What I've come through and what I did as living in the States, I kind of tend going toward, I'm more comfortable with that,
okay,
you know, and construction, doing different projects and things like that. For me, in the beginning, it was very, very uncomfortable to get up and speak in front of people, you know. At times, it can be still, you know, depending on the crowds and things. You know, I'm more of a individual one-on-one type person. When I get into a crowd, I'm not so talkative, you know. I just rather listen and be in the background. That's just kind of the way I've been. But, you know, as far as you got to find out, use what you got. You know, use your talents, use the things that, you know, got to use what you have to make it possible to witness the people. I think sometimes with my background in construction and things like that, that opens the door to be able to talk things to the Lord, you know, with other people. And that's the way I found out I'm more comfortable talking about what I've been able to do over the years or before being a missionary. And it just kind of, it leads into talking about the Lord, you know, sharing my testimony, sharing the word or whatever with others. Okay. And that's the way it works for me, you know. And I'm more comfortable that way.
Okay.
Doing it. And it may be for some people that other guys I know, they're, you know, out there energetic. You know, it's just your personality, you know, what you're used to doing, the way you know, Mara's very outgoing and I'm not so outgoing, but I'm comfortable in my pace and sharing the message, you know, in the way I feel comfortable doing it. You know, and that's why, you know, like I said, you know, more women are out to get out and share more or do more, but we all have a place, you know, to share the word, to do his calling, and he's actually, you know, put us together. You know, we're really opposite of each other, but, you know, we're good together, you know.
And,
you know, and we do something that very unheard of. We minister together.
We
get
together.
Up and preach together.
Amen.
Not just the one or the other. We since the beginning, you know, in Mexico, learning Spanish and, you know, having to translate it to Spanish, you know, or message and all, she interpreted for me, and it just kind of grew from there. After we both got good enough to speak Spanish and everything, we just kind of continued ministering the word together because we felt comfortable being up together, and we've done that for 32 years, and it, you know,
wow.
no matter what, we just, you know, the Lord gives us a message, we work together on it, you know, and we flow together, you know, and it's worked well for us.
That's fantastic. For you all who are listening, my wife just snuck in, and so I want to acknowledge her presence here with us. Hello, Myra.
Hello, Matt.
And she actually has come at a very appropriate time, because without Myra, I would have never met Larry or Marla. So she deserves a ton of credit, along with our Lord, for making this happen tonight. And it's one of the things that you just said, Larry, that really sparked something, and that's why I said she walked in at the perfect time. And that is ministering together. Now, you all have been married more years than I probably want to share on air. But for Myra and I, we are in the infancy still of our marriage, as many listeners already know, and some will even learn tonight. We had the equivalent of a shotgun wedding, so to speak, in that we got married before we really had a true date. But we met on the mission field. In this case, it was me going to just support her, nothing more than just being a support. And by golly, God in his infinite wisdom, just decided, you know what? What I'm joining together, let no man put asunder.
Right.
And 3 years later, we're here. And I think we're still trying to learn our, I don't know how to put it, get our rhythm going. Yeah. And we're still trying to work through that. But when Larry said that, it reminded me of an experience that we had last year where we were at a church, in fact, a church right up the street, and I was asked to minister in music and preach that night, now that I think about it. And then Myra came in the midst of the word going forth, and she began to pray and to console the congregation that was there. And that was one of the first times I said, I see it from a ministry perspective.
Yes.
I see how this is going to work if we would avail ourselves. And so it's great to have you guys here because you're more seasoned and you're already, you know what you guys do and you don't even realize it. Well, Marla, you can say something. You can at least start a sentence, and Larry can finish it.
All the time.
See, so we're learning to get to that place, and it's been a glorious ride. But bringing it back to the mission field, you started off Mexico. But then, before we get into what you're doing long-term, there have been other places that you have gone to, and I want each of you to just share a little bit about one or a couple of those experiences as well. And I guess I'll let Marla speak, Larry, because, you know, she's chomping at the bits to get back into this thing.
Yes. So, well, I'll try with this voice of mine today.
You're doing fine.
But, well, as I sit here and I think, well, what do I want to share? We've had so many experiences on the mission field. And like I said earlier, I wouldn't trade them for anything.
Mm-hmm.
We've had such a wonderful adventure with the Lord. And he's taken us in the midst of gloriously jubilant situations.
Yes.
And very scary situations. We were actually arrested in Mexico.
Okay.
At gunpoint.
Okay.
For preaching the gospel. They forced us to sign confessions that we had preached the gospel. And they took us at gunpoint into the middle of the desert. And they tried to kill us.
Okay.
It was the hand of God that stopped them from killing us. They would circle us with their guns, with their AK-47s and their guns, and every time they would start to kill us, the Lord would send someone by in the middle of a desert, a little boy on a mule,
okay.
An old man walking by, a car from the middle of nowhere. This went on for 14 hours. And it's by the grace of God that they didn't kill us in the middle of the desert. We did make it finally to the border, and we were able to escape sure death. And we thank God for that. And, you know, everyone said, you're crazy for going back to the mission field. You need to just stay in the United States.
Okay.
And find, there are people here that need the gospel. But, and there are, and, but everyone has to find what God's called them to do. And God has called us to take the gospel to the nations. Yeah. So we've lived in Mexico. We've lived for five years in Honduras. We make trips to Kenya, to India, in different places, almost yearly.
Okay.
We've been to Kenya. How many times, Larry?
Been going since, 2007.
So, you know, missions is in our heart. And after we were arrested in Mexico, I thought, you know, we prayed about, well, where do we go next? What do we do? And, you know, the one place you want to be is in God's will. And so I think that that's one of the biggest disturbances, one of the biggest hindrances that people have to going. They just want to be sure that it's God. They don't want to make a mistake. And they want to be sure it's God. And, you know, the Lord spoke to me. You know the time when Peter was and the disciples were in the boat, and Jesus came walking to him on the water. And Peter goes, Lord, if it's you, call me to come out to you. So the Lord said, okay, come on, because what's he going to say? No, it's not me. Stay in the boat. Peter really didn't give him a choice. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you know what? You cannot get into a situation that I can't get you out of. It was Peter's idea to get out of the boat. And when he got out, he got his eyes off the Lord, started sinking, but the Lord just reached down and pulled him back up. And they walked back to the boat together.
That's right.
And so the Lord said, you know what? I would rather you step out than to stay in the boat forever.
Yes.
So, you know, you just got to check and see, where is your foot hanging? Where's your foot hanging?
Well, I can use that.
If you're, where's your foot hanging? If you're that's right. If you're listening tonight, I just ask you, where's your foot hanging? Because, you know, you got to live life with one foot out of the boat.
You know what, Marla, and let me interrupt for a moment, because you are hitting on something. I promise to get you back in there, Larry.
That's all right.
It comes down to a verse of scripture that simply says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And if I can for a moment, let me just break that down.
Do it.
You know, I think that many times people misuse that scripture because they put a stipulation on it that you can never be afraid. That's not what the scripture is really saying.
Right.
The scripture is really saying a spirit of fear, which is why I emphasize spirit of fear, because a spirit of fear is a lifestyle of being concerned about what you don't know about.
That's good.
You know, and the problem with that way of living is that you're in a prison, you're in a box.
Exactly.
And anything that is contrary to that box, you'll never experience, and you miss out on so much.
Exactly.
So what he tells us to, he has not given us that kind of spirit. But here's the interesting part. Most people, when I hear them quoted, they say love and power. But he actually says power and love.
I like that.
And there's a reason for that. Because that power is the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Yes.
And you can't love until you have the Holy Spirit. And and it's that power. And the power allows for then love to come right behind that.
Exactly.
To be able to guide us through any type of situation. So, you know, you're right. When Peter took his eye off of Christ, he began to sink.
Yes.
And that's, from a mission perspective, that's what happens when someone in our audience, for instance, might be excited about an opportunity, and then they get to thinking about it.
Right.
And then they took their eyes off of the original passion.
Yes.
And then they just worry about, oh, well, you know, I've heard stories about this or that, and, you know, people having issues on
the
mission field.
Preach on.
And and let's be just very transparent here. We all have issues no matter where we live.
Right. Exactly.
So, I mean, you're talking to someone here who currently, when he's not in Guatemala, lives in Baltimore. So we know about problems.
Yes.
The true situation is, do we allow those problems or potential concerns to allow us to take our eyes off of our true mission.
Right, exactly.
So, forgive me, I had to jump in there
because that's
when you said what you said there, that's what sparked all that. And I applaud you both for not giving up, not quitting. And in fact, seeing it, and I'm speaking for you right now, but seeing it as actually God's confirmation and affirmation that His will be done.
Exactly.
You know, so I know I took over, so I'm going to allow Larry to address that same thing. And to get back to the original question, it was just to talk about maybe a unique experience or area that you have been in other than where we're talking from right now. We'll get to Guatemala, but just tell us and share with us an experience, maybe one, and just whatever God leads you to share about that. So the floor is yours, Larry.
All right. Well, you know, just different areas. You know, a lot of experiences, like Marla said. You know, I think we go to Kenya, you know, go along with our pastors, going over there, and we do conferences, Bible training, and church building over there, and it's just a unique experience to see different cultures, different people. You know, God said for us a long time ago, you know, I want you to keep it fresh. You know, we've been on the field a long time, but sometimes it can all become routine.
Okay.
And so we've gone on mission trips, you know, and every year just so that we could, and just Kenya's been a good place to go for us to train people, to see what's being done over there is, you know, and it's just been an awesome experience to see different places. With India is another place we've gone and just see what God is doing there. Different cultures, but they're all, you know, people are coming to the Lord. They're growing, and we're seeing new churches go up in all these places, and you know, it's just you know, it's wide. It's there's so many places. You know, we could be here a long time talking about all of it. But you know, God has seen us through all this. You know, the experiences that we've had, good, we've had bad. You know, experience. But God's always brought us through the bad. You know, even stronger, and you know, than before. You know, the thing that it always comes back to, no matter what situation we're in, how difficult it is, you know, we sold it back on the mission before we left for the mission field that God called us. He called us to do mission work. And no matter what our situation is, no matter difficult, whatever, tough times, whatever, we know, hey, we're called. We can get through this. That's always been our strong, our lean to that. You know, we know this day, this year, God said go.
We settled it
so that there's no going back. Okay. There's no going back. Okay. And so,
because like you said, you can talk yourself out of a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Once you start thinking about the logistics of doing something, you can talk yourself out of it. But like Larry said, our pastor told us, you settle it.
Okay.
You settle it in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then from today on, it isn't up for debate.
Amen.
God didn't
Amen.
Change his mind.
Right.
So you settle it in your heart.
Right.
Before you ever go.
Right. Because one of the things is I've had people that are in my circle of friends and influences, and you know, they say, man, you are crazy. You know, I won't get into, for purposes of time, I won't get into some of my own experiences, but why? And I have to tell them, it's like, you know, because that's what I'm called to do. So there are no other options.
Right.
There's a saying that goes, some might, I must. And
very good.
That's been really one of the motivating statements during rough patches, you know, because let's be frank, and audience, I'm really talking to you guys now. Many times people try to gloss over some of the challenges of missions, but again, there are always challenges. There are challenges in your own neighborhoods. There are challenges in your communities. So there are always going to be challenges. So we know that we can overcome those challenges because if we understand the scripture, we know that we serve the one who has overcome the world.
Amen.
So if we look at it from that approach of the some might, but I must, then it really eliminates any excuses, and we can truly live out the one mission statement that we should all have memorized, which is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, you know, and to, you know, be able to evangelize our world.
Yes.
And so while you all were talking, and for our audience, let me tell you something. Marla and Larry can attest to this. I have no notes in front of me, so we are truly just having a conversation. So everything that I'm asking them is coming off the top of my head from the Holy Spirit through my voice to you guys. In the midst of you all talking, and it was really you, Larry, you talked about training. And I want to get into some of the types of things that training means. What are you guys doing? What are you sharing? How is the gospel moving forward in you all's ministry? I'll start with you, sir.
Okay. Well, from going from Guatemala, from raising up a church, pastoring it, having to leave
Mexico,
yeah. We went to Honduras, and we started after some time with a year or so, we started a Bible school. Then mm-hmm. we were taking in young men and women that were, you know, leaders. Some were leaders in their church. Some were just felt the call of God on their life to do ministry. And so we had them live on our facility for 9 months out of the year. We taught them. We trained them for ministry.
Okay.
Just... Well, not so much that it was...
That sounds very illustrious. We had them live at our facility.
Okay.
That means we rented a house, and we could afford to have about 5 or 6 students.
Okay.
And we put them in the bedrooms of that house and called it a Bible school because we had classes every day. But, you know, people might listen to that and they think, wow, that sounds big time. But see, we just started with what we had.
Okay.
So we started training these men and women.
Wow.
And from that, just over the years of things that the Lord had taught us through different ministries and things, we compiled, a course of what it takes to, in everyday life, you know, in ministry to get through.
Okay. What
applies to you in everyday life to do ministry. And that's what we taught. You know, and we did that for 4 years in Honduras.
And we taught them evangelism as part of the curriculum.
Okay.
And in 4 years, and they attended classes for 7 months out of the year.
Okay.
They lived on the premises. But we took them out for 6 months of that. The first month was just training. So for 4 years, 6 months out of the year, taking these 5 or 6 students to parks, to do one-on-one evangelism.
Neighborhoods?
On Saturday and Sunday only.
Okay.
6 months out of the year. Hmm. In 4 years, we won over 5,000 people to the Lord.
Wow.
And never saw less than how
80%.
In church 1 year later.
Wow.
Serving in church.
Understood. Okay. Okay.
And so that's what part of it is about, teaching them how to reach their nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm. You know, we can't be everywhere.
Yes.
But we can train others to go.
So let me stop right there, because I know now Myra's chomping at the bits.
Oh, yeah.
So go ahead, honey, and say what you need to say.
I'm just excited to hear that, because we've had a church for a number of years, but we've never had a pastor. So that's, without that relationship, you need a pastor. Now we have a pastor, and he is so excited. So, you know, I want to see your material.
Okay.
So see, I can present that to him, because he is new. He has ideas. He has a vision.
We'd love to.
He needs material.
Absolutely.
So I love this, because he sees people. He wants to train up people so they can go to their community. Exactly.
Absolutely.
The same thing. Not come to church and say, oh, thank you, Lord, and go back home.
Right.
And do nothing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Be a witness in your life.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, and speaking in harmony with what you all have shared, getting to the real root of that word, evangelism, and Myra knows where I'm going with this, but you know, I always tease people that I have conversations with, and I ask them, well, what's the number one evangelistic word that you have? And you know, after a while, people are scratching their heads and they go, and I say, oh, hello, because you know, so many times we get into our curriculums and we get into, okay, let's get these verses down, and you know, and believe me, I'm not negating that, and you know, because again, scripture tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God.
Right. Yes.
But at the same time, that information that we learn is of no use if we're not sharing it.
Sure.
And oftentimes, what the mistakes that I have seen on the field are that so many people are leading with things that are too heavy in the moment, that being able to say hello, to build a relationship,
exactly,
will open up the avenues for them to receive your Christ.
That's exactly what we taught our students.
Yeah. So, you know, oftentimes I'm just out and about. In fact, I'll tell you this, because right outside our little community here, I walk the streets almost every morning or evening. And, you know, I'm still working on my Spanish, because, you know, I was trying to learn French before I met Myra, and now I've got to change languages. But anyway, I just did that to tease her a little bit. But the one thing that I've tried to do is to just speak to everybody as I'm on my walk.
Right.
And it's gotten to the point now where I'm starting to see some common faces almost on a daily basis, and that has opened up for a little more dialogue, you know, and I just see it at some point as I get better with the language, that will eventually give me avenue to be able to actually witness in a way that they can understand.
Right.
You know, and because honestly, from a North American perspective, our churches, as much as they try to encourage doing mission-related work, that tends to be the least represented from the local church perspective. And so, in ways to try to increase that, so that not only do you have more long-term missionaries such as yourself, but to have short-term missionaries I think it's really important for us who are more seasoned in that area to just be able to talk honestly about the fact that missions is really just relationships.
That's what it is.
You know, and
people know if you genuinely care about them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're not just preaching to them.
Right.
You're developing a friendship with them.
Right. Exactly. And in fact, as I'm so want to almost preach every comment that comes out of my mouth, I have learned that it is really in the quieter moments of just getting to know my neighbor. Long periods of time I go by and Jesus himself is never really mentioned because that relationship is still in the process. But eventually it always comes back to Christ. And I have been so encouraged to be able to win more souls with that method.
Yes.
And I think that oftentimes the way that missions and missionary type things are taught from a North American perspective, we put so much on all these things that we need to learn.
Right.
Where I'm more of the Isaiah 6 model, where here am I, Lord, send me.
Right.
And the Lord will, he'll figure it out for you.
Yes.
And just as, you know, Jeremiah was encouraged in Jeremiah 29, I'll put the words into your mouth.
Sure.
Don't worry about it. I've
sure.
got you. Right. You know, so, you know, using two Old Testament examples, you had Moses, the eventual deliverer of the nation of Israel, who was by nature a natural stutterer. And then on the other side of that, the prophet Jeremiah, being one who's a little bit intimidated by the call on his life, being encouraged by God that I'll speak for you, even to the apostle Paul in the New Testament, so we can cover the full gamut of encouraging young Timothy that, you know, to build the foundation for the churches.
Yes.
And so in all these things, I think what gets lost and why people are more discouraged into getting out here and doing things is because they just say, I'm not adequate. I don't possess what it takes. But in actuality, Larry, and I know you can agree with this, the whole Bible is nothing but imperfect people doing God's perfect work.
Right, that's right.
So, in the midst of that, that's the reason why you guys are on with us tonight, because unless I'm seeing something different, you guys are just regular people, right?
That's it.
I mean, I want to make sure, because if you're anything more than that, I'm a little intimidated right now.
we're very, very ordinary.
Yes, but doing extraordinary things. And so...
It's because we serve an extraordinary God.
Amen.
Well, you know what? I'm going to let you do the rest of this, Marla. No, I'm teasing because I just love having fun with these things. But I do want to transition a little bit because we've talked about some of the things that you've done outside of Guatemala, I'm not even saying it right, but within Guatemala, you guys are doing some incredible things. And again, I'm going to let Larry talk first because he's not getting away with anything tonight.
<That's right.
laughs> Well, I'll start with what, you know, our ministry here is different. Aspects of it. Of course, we do Bible training pastors and leaders, but also another aspect of what we're doing is that we're building pole-borne style church. That's a roof and a floor. It's all metal, cement floor, in remote villages here in Guatemala, also in Honduras. We built around 200
In villages that have no other Christian church.
No other Christian church. You know, within, they got to be over 4 kilometers from another work or anything, but they're remote mountain villages. Sometimes we're going 2 hours, 3 hours to get to these places up mountain roads from here, and they're just a small community. What we do is new beginnings.
Okay.
You know, get them started. They've been working in their home, someone's home, or under a little shelter, getting the work started. They got some land donated, or they bought a piece of land. We come in. You know, it's not something that Marla and I fund, but it's something that we work with our home church mission organization. They raise up the funds, and we select the places that we want to build these churches free of charge to the people, and we just go and do that. Build up in 4 days. It takes us to raise up a church. We did one last week. We're working on one this week. We got two more the next 2 weeks coming up.
Between Guatemala and Honduras, how many have we built?
200.
Wow.
200.
Wow.
And so we've over these years, we've formed a relationship with all these pastors, and we come together. We do conferences with them. We go out and do ministry in their villages. And we bring in teams to come in, and we take them out to these villages doing services. We do medical clinics. We do children's ministry.
By any means that we can to preach the gospel. People will come to a medical clinic that might not come to church.
Okay.
So we
give them the gospel within the medical clinics. But it all starts with the church that we help build free of charge to them. And we just become alongside them as helping them spiritually grow up, you know, the church. And so that's what we've done with that. And I'll let Marla tell the other part because she's done. And that's with the feeding centers that we have.
Yes, let's talk about that.
We have and run 8 feeding centers in 8 different rural mountain villages.
Okay.
Working together with these churches that we've helped plant in the villages.
Okay.
The first year that we moved to Chiquimula, that is in the dry corridor, I read in the newspaper that over 150 children died that year of malnutrition. And we had just arrived here in Chiquimula, and that just broke our hearts. And we said, you know what, this just can't be. This just can't, we can't just read that statistic and do nothing. So we just found a pastor that would work with us. And we didn't have a lot of support from the states for feeding centers or anything. It was just Larry and I.
Wow.
And so we talked and we said, how many kids can we feed if it's just me and you?
Okay.
And that was 10 kids. So we told the pastor, you find the 10 neediest kids in the village and invite them. And we're bringing up food and we're going to feed them. 50 children showed up that day.
Okay.
And now we have 8 different feeding centers, and we have 600 children that we feed three times a week.
Wow, that's incredible.
Praise God.
That's incredible. And you know, I think about it because now God has manifested His glory through the two of you. And let's think about this for a moment. If you were taken out of the equation, that's 600.
Crazy.
That would go without. And so.
But not just that. Let me tell you.
Go ahead. Let me tell you.
I was so excited. Okay. We just got a testimony the other day.
Okay.
In one of the churches that we helped plant in the village.
Okay.
The current pastor.
Okay.
And his wife received Christ through their child that was in the feeding center, they weren't even Christians, because in the dry corridor, we're only 4% Christian.
Right.
And in the rural mountain villages, that's extremely true. When you get outside into the cities, the numbers are skewed differently.
Right.
But up in the mountain villages, because we're talking about mountain villages where there's no Christian church.
Right.
And so 90% of the kids who come to my feeding centers are not from Christian homes.
Okay.
So, but this pastor and his wife received Christ through their child being in the feeding center.
Wow.
I love that.
Wow.
I love that.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, and you're so right. You're so right as far as I wasn't even looking at the even the expansion. But getting to the point is that that young child would not have been able to do that
right
if you all weren't in the picture to feed him.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that for a reason, because for those who are listening, and we're on Adoration on the When Christians Speak Talk Radio Network, we're with Larry and Marla Johnson, missionaries in Guatemala. If you weren't there, so many others are affected.
Yes.
And getting to the point, we need to think about it. If we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing
right.
for the kingdom,
right.
it's never just about us.
No, it's not.
There are lives that are attached to us that we have no idea are attached to us. And we in the Christian community must understand the bigger picture.
Yes.
That our salvation, our discipleship, our devotion has very little to do with us. It's about God's reach and influence throughout the world.
Yes.
And, you know, using the prayer Jabez as kind of the example, because again, it's another aspect of scripture that sometimes gets misused. It was never about Jabez's territory being expanded,
exactly.
but God's.
Yes.
And we have to see ourselves as conduits of God's enlargement in the world.
Yes.
And I want to just sit back and applaud you all, because see, as you guys are learning on Adoration, I'm learning too, because we haven't had a conversation this in depth. So I'm learning a lot today too. And Larry and Marla are giving such a powerful testimony. You can hear the passion in their voices. And even more so, if you were in the room with us, you could feel the passion that they both have. Again, in different ways, Marla being more like me, very... Larry being more like my wife, very quiet. But quietness is not a negative. It's got its own power to it. And again, it simply goes back, if you all will agree, that God can use anyone,
that's right.
anywhere, at any time for his purposes. And one of the things that Myra and I, as we do every morning as we pray, we always pray that our influence is extended beyond just our experience. That, and in fact, in my personal prayer, I try not to really focus too much on myself at all, because
right.
I just feel like, you know, every day that we're able to wake up, we've already been blessed.
Yes.
So to keep using God is kind of like a slot machine and,
right.
okay, I need this today, Lord. Oh, I need this today. I need that. No, I'd rather just say, you know, thank you so much for what I have, what you have provided for me,
yes.
the protection that you give. And now, Lord God, help me to share you
right.
with others. And I'm seeing that literally exemplified, not in what you do, just your lifestyles, period. Just the passion, because unlike some of our listeners that, oh, well, they just go to church and you can just kind of cut that off and now I'm going to work, now I'm going home.
Right.
For us, every day,
it's who we are.
Is ministry, and it's just who we are. So that is to be greatly applauded, and we're getting ready to wrap things up, or I'll just keep you forever. I must say that in getting a chance to just sit down with each of you, I've taken away some nuggets of inspiration and information that I didn't have prior to us sitting down in this context. Tell people how they can support you, how they can support, where they can support, and anything that you guys may need, desire, or want for the ministry.
Wow.
I mean, this is, look, don't, Marla, you've been talking all throughout this thing. This is not the time to shut it down. So if there's a website, if yes. there's a way of giving, if there are prayer requests,
yeah.
this is the moment.
Terrific. Yes, there is a website. If anyone is interested in looking up our website, I'm looking at my phone right now so I can make sure I get it right. It's Flames of Fire Ministry, no spaces, flamesoffireministry.org. And they can go there and it will give them information about all of the different projects that we're involved in, how they can be involved in it. But we ask that you pray for us.
Amen.
Pray that doors be opened for us to be able to share the gospel.
Amen.
And that God would put his word in our mouth.
That's on the website, it's got information about how you can give. It goes through our home church in Texas, and they get it to us. That's the easiest way to do it.
Yes.
And if anybody wants to, support or give to a project. We have, we build churches, we build homes for the families in the feeding center because they're living in mud huts. They're, mm-hmm. some are just palm, whatever. We go in and put a cement slab, a 12 by 16 room out of, 2x4s and plywood, tin roof. That's something that'll last them for quite a while, and that's the kind of projects that we're doing. Playground equipment for feeding centers, and something that the kids that we started doing. Also, we do motorcycles for supervisors that cover a lot of territory.
Okay,
we have pastors that are maybe over 4 or 5 churches, and they walk. They will walk up mountain trails.
Okay.
For 5 and 6 hours wow. to go preach the gospel and then walk 6 hours home.
Or some are 10 to 20 churches that they're over, and then they get, we get them a motorcycle, and that gets them to get to their pastors that they're overseeing. And so those are just some of the projects that we're involved in.
But our website will tell you all about all of those things.
And the feeding the kids and,
the feeding centers.
Things that it'll all give the information.
Great. Now, you mentioned that you have a home church. Why don't we just go ahead and spotlight them now? So what's the home church in Texas?
It's a Generations Church out of Spring, Texas. That's our home church. Been there for 30, it's going on 36 years now.
Wow.
Founding pastor is Albert Hale.
Okay.
But right now his son is lead pastor, okay. Scott Hale.
Scott Hale, okay.
And the founding pastor does all the mission work. So we tag along with them when we go to Kenya and India and different places, just helping them out. And, of course, with the church construction, I'm involved in a lot of that aspect of it.
Okay.
We train pastors and leaders. We do a lot of that while we're there. And So
we're really looking for partners right now that will help us establish our second round of teaching in Kenya.
Okay.
To sponsor a pastor for to be trained.
Okay.
We do it. The first group that we sponsored had 20 graduated.
Okay.
And they've taken it and trained now almost 70 more.
Wow.
And so when we can get a group of pastors trained in an area, they'll take that and then train others. So right now we're headed in April. Okay. And we need partners to help us do that.
Okay, so don't be shy. What would be the monetary commitment to sponsor?
To sponsor a pastor for the two-week training
is
$300.
Okay.
That's all of his books, his food, housing, and everything for 2 solid weeks.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. So, again, because we've been talking as a trio, but we actually are a quartet. My wife is still here. And so, Myra, is there anything that you wanted to just say before we begin to close out?
I'm just thankful that I know them. It's been a blessing to
Amen.
Because I love Guatemala, and it just touches my heart when people can be here to be of help, because I don't go to the mountains. Most of the missionaries go to the mountains. I'm in more in the city, but we have the same some of the same dynamics. So I'm thankful for the ones that have we call the ganas, the chutzpah to go into those rugged areas. And God hasn't called me to that, but I'm just so appreciative. But you know, God sends some here and some there, and that you all are being obedient to go where not many people will go.
Amen.
Because it's hard up there, but I'm just very proud of you too.
Thank you.
Amen. And so, Larry, Marla, it gets to this, what I call the Carol Burnett moment. Yes, I'm so glad we had this time together.
Yes, yes.
But in all seriousness, I believe our listeners will definitely be encouraged and blessed. And I mean, we really just skimmed the surface tonight. Sure. I mean, there's so many stories and so many things that we could have, or directions we could have gone in. But at the core of it, I applaud you both for your steadfastness, unmovability to just go and to encourage the nations, wherever the nations may be, and to share the love of Jesus Christ with communities that without people like yourselves would go untouched, unreached. That is to be applauded and to be recognized while you are still alive to appreciate it. So I'm appreciative from one missionary to another. To have gotten a chance to know you. God orchestrates things in a way that who would have thunk it?
Mm-hmm.
Four years ago, when I actually really got to know my wife, I never knew that because of this beautiful individual who I get to share space with on a daily basis, that I would be introduced to such a dynamic group of other people in which you all are inclusive.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
Yes.
It's been an honor to be here.
That's right. You all, if you didn't just see Marla, she just held the bottom of her throat to emphasize that. One day we'll work things out where we'll also have a video presentation, but for now, for those of you all that are listening currently or will listen, just know that this conversation will be available on Spotify, on Apple, on Stitcher Radio, on most of the podcast streaming networks. So look out for it. Again, Larry, Marla, it has been a thrill to have you guys here. And I'm going to let Larry close us out in the only way that we Christians can close the deal. In prayer.
All right. All right. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for this time together, just sharing your love, what you're doing in our lives,
yes.
Father God. We just thank you.
Yes.
I thank you as a blessing to the people that are listening to this program tonight, Father God,
yes.
That you minister to them, Father God. Touch their lives in a way that they've never been touched before.
Mm.
We give you all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. And for our adoration audience, God bless you. And know that just to stay in his perfect peace.